Direction in a sea of chaos. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Join us now with Pastor Chris Gordon as we open the Word of God.
As always, we're very grateful that you've tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. I am Pastor Chris Gordon of the Linden United Reformed Church, and this week we are continuing our study in the Gospel of John in the Passion of Christ. We've been going through this for the past few weeks, and today on Abounding Grace, we come to John chapter 19, verses 31 through 42. I have recently been enjoying reading Martin Luther on the Passion of Christ, and he says something that I believe is extremely helpful as we come to an end of this really study of the Passion, the death of Christ. Luther said that in his day, the squires and the godless papists would laugh and mock them when they heard how they always were urging the people to learn the articles of the faith. Ha, they say. Do you think that I'm a young child who doesn't know that Christ died and was buried? I learned that many years ago and don't need to hear it again for the first time. But let them mock and laugh. Imitate me and simply learn this article well. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. And then he says, when these things come to a head and people face the anguish of death and distress, we'll see if they really understand and believe this article of faith. Isn't that just the truth? Luther is right. Make it a life goal to know Christ in his sufferings and the power of his resurrection. And I assure you that what you really know and believe is going to be your strength when you face the sufferings of this present evil age. The main point of everything we've been studying the past few weeks is stated here this morning in our text. It's the single great purpose and goal of the entire gospel. We read it in verse 35. And he who has seen has testified, and his testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth so that you may believe. I'm saying this, says John, so that in your minds and your hearts you would not doubt, but that you would believe that Jesus went all through all of this for you. I desire you to know this, to believe this, because these are the words of life. They're going to affect you. They're going to change you. They will save you. So here we are. This is the Passion of Christ. We've been studying it. And as we open this up, we're going to make use of it in such a way that we see what his life, death, and burial has done for me, has done for you if you're a believer. It's done something. Let's continue. Let's study this. I've never grasped, nor will I ever grasp, the depths of for which Christ suffered for me. I don't deserve it. I'm not lovely enough for God to base this kind of gift upon me. To give this kind of gift to me, it's overwhelming to think about what he did. And we've been studying here the crucifixion. He has been nailed to the wooden cross, and we got a little glimpse of the suffering that he was enduring with the painful words, I thirst. The wrath of God, the judgment for our sins was falling upon him. And whatever it would have required for a sinner to go forever into hell and suffer, Jesus there, in those words, was expressing that he was paying it in full. The last words given before he died were, "It is finished." We read that he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. Now, John at this point goes into great detail about what happened to his body and the burial itself. And in fact, none of the other gospels go into exactly what happened on the cross after he died. But consider verse 31. Therefore, because it was the preparation day that the body should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Now here's what's happening. We've heard of this preparation day over and over, and essentially this was the whole week of festivities, all in celebration of the Passover, that would culminate on the Sabbath that fell among them. So the phrase here reads that this Sabbath day was a great one. In fact, it was the greatest among all the Sabbaths. This would be like if we had the Lord's Supper once a year. Next week comes that Sunday. Can you imagine how people would treat that day? This was the Sabbath of the Passover feast, a feast that lasted 7 days. So it's Friday. Remember earlier that morning, between 1 and 3, they had tried Jesus. Then he went to civil trial. And about the 6th hour, probably 9 a.m., he has been sent to the cross, and for hours now, he has been hanging there. But now it's getting late in the afternoon. The Jews start thinking to themselves, we got to get ready for our Super Sabbath. And Deuteronomy 21 is really clear. It says, if a man has committed a sin deserving of death, he has to be put to death, and you hang him on a tree. His body shall not remain overnight on the tree, but you shall surely bury him that day so that you do not defile the land. Well, there it is. Can you imagine the defilement of the land if we let his cursed body remain up on that cross on the Sabbath? We got to go get ready. We got to be in our Saturday best. And we don't want our hands dirty with this cursed man. So the Jews go to Pilate and they ask if they can break their legs and take them away. Because in these crucifixions, it was possible that they could remain hanging there for hours and even days, depending upon how healthy they were. So the way to speed up this whole thing, what they would do is take a large hammer and a huge iron mallet, and they would walk up to the victims and see if they were still breathing. And if they were still breathing, they would give deep blows with the hammer to the legs. You would hear the bones shatter. It would cause such a shock to the body, and no more could they push up for air, that death would quickly follow. What a horrid torture. Pilate gives them permission. So they walk up to the first man, verse 32. Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who was crucified with him. They were both still living, weren't they? What an amazing, sad, tragic thought, isn't it? We know that one of these men, in the last moment of his life, believed the gospel. He trusted Christ. The other one cursed Jesus. He did not believe. Here's the end of two lives, dear listener. For one, the hammer strikes, and one falls into hell. For the other, the pain turned into absolute glory because he had faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the gospel message. That's the warning, too. Today, said the Lord, you will be with me in paradise. So that's what's happened. And now they turn to Jesus, verse 33. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. You know what really moves me about this? It's the awful hypocrisy of this. The Jews were giving themselves to the scrupulous details of the law. We can't have a man's body up on the Sabbath. We have to observe it to a T. We need to go celebrate. We are the correct interpreters of the law. We got a lot of preparation to do for our Saturday Sabbath. But never mind that on our hands is the blood of the one who came to save us. Oh, we will strictly observe the Sabbath. Yet you know what, dear listener? They were murderers in the heart. They had no care. They had no care that they were hating their brethren. They had no care that they were completely killing an innocent man. You see, this has been the problem all throughout John, hasn't it? John's been warning people of this. Be careful with your rigorous interpretations of the law. Interesting, it always comes up with the Sabbath. Be careful, because what we're seeing here is the greatest hypocrisy on the pages of Scripture. Rigorous observance of the law on this fine point, yet their lives were full of hypocrisy. This is one of the most tragic realities in the life of the church, that you have people who will brutally respond to the minutest breaking of the law, yet, if you look at their own lives, they openly show that they've completely neglected the weightier matters of the law, such as justice, mercy, and truth. This kind of hypocrisy brought about the cross. Now, the text wants you to see something. The soldiers here see that the Lord Jesus is already dead. So they think to themselves, we don't need to break his legs. I want you to think about verse 36. For these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled. Not one of his bones shall be broken. Where does that come from? You know where that comes from? That comes from Exodus chapter 12. Here's what it reads. It's a night of solemn observance to the Lord for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord, a solemn observance for all the children of Israel throughout all their generations. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. No foreigner shall eat it, but every man's servant who is bought for money, when you've circumcised him, then he may eat it. A sojourner and a hired servant shall not eat it. In one house it shall be eaten. You shall not carry any of the flesh outside the house, nor shall you break one of its bones. All the congregation of Israel shall keep it. Now, isn't that just amazing? Isn't this just heartbreaking? They have come to celebrate the Passover. And now the Sabbath of the Passover has come. We've got to get them off the cross, they think, so that we can go teach our children about the Passover. And John is screaming to us, they can't break his bones. God won't let them because he is the Passover lamb. An amazing scene. Tragedy of a lifetime, isn't it? No idea that in all their celebration, they have taken by lawless hands the only perfect paschal lamb. And as they're celebrating it, eating the lamb, as they're singing, as they're celebrating the Sabbath, they have killed, they have slaughtered, they have put on the cross the only perfect paschal lamb that is able to save a sinner from death. Wrap your minds around that. This, dear listener, is what happened. And the disciples used this in their proclamation of the gospel by saying, you did this. All of us did this. Our sins caused this, that Jesus would go to the cross. And the message that goes out, that sounds out to the ends of the earth is, repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. That's what we herald. Even though our sin caused this, God has made him the propitiation that satisfies his wrath, so that all who believe in the name of Jesus shall never perish, but have everlasting life. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. As always, we give you a sincere invite to join us for worship, where we herald and preach the gospel to you, the power to save your soul from death, cover your sins, and receive you into eternal life by his grace. May we trust the Lord Jesus Christ. 10 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. on the Lord's Days, lindenurc.com is the website. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.